chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, so many that you couldn't count them is what the writer is saying here, insomuch that they trod one upon another. Now, in our language, that means it was so crowded, they were stepping on each other. I like it. I really like that. Not that we should step on each other, but wouldn't you like to see our nation so excited to hear what God said that they would actually go to churches where churches are teaching the truth, and that those churches wouldn't have room? Wouldn't you like to see it packed? Wouldn't you like to see people wanting to hear what Jesus had to say just as then? It's so crowded, and they are stepping on each other. That, I like it. Don't step on each other. I mean, I like the other part. The part where they want to hear what Jesus has to say. You are rare people. Either maybe someone dragged you here. I don't know why you're here. Maybe you wanted to be here. I don't know. But you know, there are a lot of people out there who didn't go to church anywhere today. They call themselves Christians, but they didn't go. Oh, they're tired. They're bored. The church is full of hypocrites. Of course it is. I mean, did we claim to be anything less? But you know, people stayed home. You know what they're missing? They don't have an excitement to hear what Jesus says. And here, excuse me, the people, they just want to hear what Jesus says. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, to all of them, but to his disciples that are right there, beware, or you beware, of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven. Leaven, a symbol throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. Leaven, a symbol for evil. Or if you like, if you choose to, sin. Leaven is used as a symbol for evil. Or for sin. And Jesus says, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What is that leaven? Which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the word in the Greek. Forget that. You, all those Greek scholars, you know how it is. The word in our language from the Greek translates to us as an actor on a stage. That's what a hypocrite is. Someone who is acting to be something that they're not. And you go to the movie, or you go to the live theater, and maybe they're doing the musical drama 1776. And so you'll see John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and whoever you see, and the different guys, John Hancock, and you'll see them. But that's not really them. They're dead. Those are actors. They are good hypocrites. If you're going to make a living out of being an actor, you want to be a good one. But as a Christian, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to be acting holy and not really be holy. You want it to really be inside and out real. And so he says, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and there is, or neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, or because of that, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Do you know that everything that's been said is going to be played back someday? The things that you said in secret, in whispering into somebody's ear, thinking nobody else heard it, it was recorded. The group Daniel Amos, when they made normal music, which was a long time ago, they wrote a song called Horrendous Disc. And the words basically tell us this: you and I are recording artists. We are making a horrendous disc that someday is going to be played back out loud. The things you said about the people that are sitting around you, or the people that you supposedly love, the things you said, they're going to come out in the open and everybody's going to hear it. And have you noticed that when God really loves you and you're wanting to get close to Him, He brings it out soon, doesn't He? Yes, right away. Have you ever noticed that somehow, some way, when somebody says something about you, have you noticed it just has a way of getting back to you? And you wondered why that was. It's because God's wanting Christians to deal with it now. But you know something? Everything said is going to be played back out loud. Oh, Lord. I'd like to stop here and just go home and sit and think, now what have I said over the last 40 years? Oh, gee. And that counts the good things. Oh, man. Well, I can remember both good things, but it was the other things I can't remember. And Jesus says, when I say unto you, my friends, Don't be afraid of them that kill the body, verse 4. And after that, have no more that they can do. Let me warn you who you should fear or reverence or be concerned about. Fear him which is after he kills has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear that one. Fear him. You're going to have to reverence. Somebody's going to become important to you. What they think, how they feel, is going to become important to you. Here's the one it ought to be. Not the one that can just put your body to death. See, mankind, the only thing they can do to you, the most they can do to you is kill you. That's it. But God could go a lot further than that afterwards. There is something that comes after all this. It's not done when you think it's done. And so there's the one we ought to be concerned about. He says, the one that we should be concerned about is God. If you reverence and fear God, you will not fear man. Did you know that? Because you got too much on your mind. Look, I care about what God thinks. I care about what he sees. I care about what he's going to say. And so therefore, I don't care about anything else. If God's the one that's got that kind of power, you don't really worry too much about anybody else. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't take them into consideration. What it means is that's who I'm living for. And so we need to stop this horrendous disc. And the recording should be getting better and better by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he tells you how important you are. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Now think, 2 sparrows were sold for 1 farthing. That was the approximately a half a penny. In other words, and I don't mean to offend you, if you have sparrows at home, God bless them. But do you know that sparrows are worthless? That's what God's word just says. They're not worth anything. You can buy 2 for half a penny. Normally they were 2 for half a penny, but if you bought 4 for 2 for almost a full penny, they would throw in a fifth one. Isn't that what it says here? 5 sparrows are sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. I read an old saying from that used to be a common saying way back before you and I were born, and this is what they said: God attends the funeral of every sparrow. When a sparrow dies, even though they're worthless, God knows it, and he's there. Now, you are much more important than the birds. Oh, Lord, this is going to go out on the radio. We could be sued for saying something like that in America. I just don't think before I speak, you know. Some kind of bird hugger or tree or somebody, some green something's going to be mad at that, but I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says, so I'm not telling you don't love birds. Love your bird, feed them, and if things get ugly, you can always, they're chubby and you can eat them. But, I just offended the rest of the, let's see, that's the vegetarians and Greenpeace. Who else? Have I slammed the president yet? Not yet. But, oh, Lord. You know how that worries me. You can see it in my eyes. You're much more important than all the animals, even the whales. God created you and he loves you and you're very important. So quit drinking yourself to death. Quit putting those drugs in your body. Stop it. You got a job to do. You got responsibilities. 5 sparrows, aren't they sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, God loves you so much. He knows how many hairs are in your head. Now, I know that you care about you too, but have you noticed you have never taken the time to count the number of hairs in your own head? Some of you guys, it changes for me. Yeah, both of them. That's what my dad used to say. I'm going to comb my hair, both of them. You know, but still, God knows. He's got an angel walking with some of you just marking it as it goes, right? But you know, you don't think that much about you. You don't know the numbers of the hairs on your head right now. But God himself does. He knows so much more about you and cares so much more about you than you even care for yourself. Don't be afraid, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. But, and I say unto you, Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. If you right now say, I am a Christian, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, I have asked him into my heart, I have confessed that I am a sinner, I believe his blood washes me clean, and I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he's the Savior of the world. You are confessing before men Jesus Christ. And he at the same time turns to the angels and says, he's mine. She's mine. I confess before you, I know that one. But you see, he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You go back to Matthew, and you can find on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is going to say to some people, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I deny you. I do not know who you are. I have no idea who you are. Yes, I cast out demons in your name. I preached in your name. We did a lot of things in your name. I don't know who you are. I do not know who you are. He denies you publicly in front of all those angels and all those witnesses. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. There is a sin that cannot be forgiven. What is it? Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Well, to blaspheme is not only to speak, but to act against, to reject what the Holy Spirit is doing. What is the Holy Spirit doing? What did the Holy Spirit come down here to do? To convince of sin. The Holy Spirit wants you and I to know that we're sinners. And then once we do, we're going to go, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner, I'm in trouble, what do I do? And the Spirit will say, Jesus. To blaspheme him is to reject what he says. In other words, rejecting Jesus. That's the unpardonable sin. That's it. I know people today who say, I don't care, I don't want Jesus. That is rejecting. You leave here that way, it cannot be forgiven. I've had people, Christians, say to me, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. And I say, well, how do you feel about that? And they say, I'm scared. I say, well, there's a sign that you haven't committed it yet. You wouldn't, if you do reject Jesus, you wouldn't be afraid. If you're afraid that you've done it, you haven't done it yet. You're in good company. Make sense to you, or are you lost with everybody else over here? Okay. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues, because if you're going to walk with Jesus, there's trouble. Unto the magistrates and the powers, take no thought how or what thing you should answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. Now, that's saying that if you get brought up, called on the carpet for your faith, whether it's before your boss or it's before the court systems or before the authorities or the higher-ups. If you're called up there, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Now, this verse is not to be used like some men and women I hear. They teach Bible studies and they just got too busy. Like yesterday was a day off and they just didn't have time to study. So they'll get up in front of everyone and say, I'm not prepared, but I am not worried. The Holy Spirit will give me words to say. No, you're missing it. You should have prepared yourself. This is for those who are called up to answer according to their faith. You don't need to panic. You can trust in God. He'll give you the words to speak. Now, one of the people in the company, one of the group, remember it was very crowded, they said, Master, would you speak to my brother that he divides the inheritance with me? We got this inheritance, you know, obviously the parents must have done, somebody died, left them something, and they're having struggles on how they ought to separate it, split it up. So, Master, would you talk to my brother and straighten him out? I'm not getting my fair share. And Jesus said unto him, verse 14, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? In our language, no, I'm not even going to step into that. And here's why. He said to the crowd, take heed and beware of covetousness. All that man is worried about is what he thinks, some stuff he thinks he ought to be getting, whether it's money or materials or whatever. And Jesus says, you take heed, crowd, all of you that want to follow me, you take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Boy, I just slammed a lot of Americans. This is going to be a great radio program. You know, your life is much more than what you have. Your stuff, your bank accounts, your stocks, your bonds, your T-bills, your 401, your whatever you happen to have. And none of that stuff is going to go with you, but you're going to go. I'll show you in a moment how to send it on ahead. I heard a guy one time say, you can't take it with you, and the pastor said, I'm sending mine on ahead. And there's a way to do that. He spoke a parable unto them, and he said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He had a bumper crop. I mean, he grew M&Ms, Kentucky Fried Chicken, all the things that farmers grow. And I mean, in abundance. He was shocked at how much he got. You don't grow M&Ms? And he thought within himself. Now listen to the language. What shall I do? Because I have no room to put my stuff. You see that? You recognize the problem already? What shall I do? Oh my goodness, I wasn't prepared for all this crop. Look at how much stuff I've got. Whoa, what shall I do? I have no room to put it all. All my stuff. Hey, where did he get the ground? You may not know this, but God made it out of nothing. It's God's dirt. That's where he got the ground. Where did he get the rain to water this stuff? You say, he didn't use rain. He used those big rain birds and he drilled a well. Well, who put the water down there? Who created water to begin with? Are you getting the point? This man really thinks he's got it together. I got a bunch of stuff. Where did you get it all? All of it, every bit of it. Even the health to work it yourself. Where did you get it? And he said, you know, I know what I'll do. Verse 18, tear down my barns and build bigger barns. There you go. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and my M&Ms and Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I will say to my soul, precious. I added that. I will say to my soul, soul? But you know that's what he was thinking. He was thinking, precious. You have many goods laid up for you for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry, take it easy. You've got so much stuff, even Y2K couldn't stop you. You are set, dude. Go. Just relax, man. You have made it. You could retire. You're only 26 years old. Just quit. You're covered for years to come. What about his neighbors? Wonder how they were doing. What about people down the road who little bitty bugs got into their M&M crops and destroyed it? They got none. He hasn't even thought about them, has he? That's what the Bible says. So he builds bigger barns. And you know, he went to bed that night. I'm just telling you a story now between verse 19 and verse 20. I can see the story. Can't you see it? He went to bed that night thinking, boy, God is great. Man, life is good. I feel great. Everything's going my way. I am set. I didn't really plan to be this set this early in my life, and this is good. And he goes to bed, and he's really happy. And about 2 or 3 in the morning, he wakes up in pain. He's in such pain, he can't even tell where it's coming from, and he's dying. And God says, you fool. This night, or tonight, your soul shall be required of you. Required in the Greek. In our language, translates to this word, recalled. You are familiar with that, with vehicles and tires and things, products. Recalled to their maker. The maker recalls it. I want it back. God's put it there, and God says, I'm taking it back now. Tonight's the night I'm taking it back. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? Now, who's going to get all the stuff that you put in your bigger barns? Who's going to get it? Oh, some family member, or if you don't have any close relatives, maybe the state. Somebody's going to get it and split it up accordingly. You know, while you were alive, and God blessed you so abundantly, you had opportunities to use all kinds of that stuff for his kingdom. But you fool, he says. It's over for you. Your chance was there. You muffed it. And we're told over and over, you can't take it with you. And of course, you can send it on ahead. You know what Jesus says? In Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because moths will eat them, rust will corrupt it. And thieves could break in and steal it. Anything I try to take care of down here is going to turn to nothing. It's all going to burn. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Send it on ahead. How do you get a bank account in heaven? First, the way to open the account is to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. That opens the account. It's free. Free account. Now you're free to begin to put things in the account in heaven. It says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Thieves can't get into heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now he didn't say, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So you begin to put your money into God's kingdom. And to use your talent and your health and your energy in God's kingdom. And you begin to take your stuff and share it and use it for God's kingdom. And you're now storing it in heaven where people can't get to it. And the more you get stored in heaven, I'll tell you what happens down here. Pretty soon you're thinking, I don't really want to be here. I'm not interested in putting things here anymore. I want to go where my stuff is. I want to go where my life really is. My heart is in heaven. Pretty soon you're thinking, I just want to go home. I've never been there, but I'm going back someday. I want to go home. That's where my home is, in heaven. That's where I want to spend my money. That's where I want to spend my life. That's where I want to spend my energy. Is it wrong to have a house? No. Is it wrong to have cars and things? No, those are blessings. Was it wrong for him to have a bumper crop? No, there was nothing wrong with it. He could even put some aside for a day that it might rain. But do you notice that it was then he had the opportunity to do something with it, and he blew it by keeping it all for himself? That's covetousness. Jesus says, beware of covetousness. In this country, I think that we're more covetous than we understand that we are. Because we know that people are hurting, that people are suffering, and we still hold back. And, you know, we proved it. And I was ashamed of us all just a little while back, this whole Y2K scare. It showed the heart of the church. Not everybody, not every single soul, but didn't it show us ourselves? Wasn't that embarrassing? We're buying Y2K underwear. By the way, the company that sold those sold out of all of them. I should have bought a pair because I thought, I wonder what's special about them. And you know, inquiring minds like mine. And I thought, people aren't going to buy those, are they? They sold them all. They sold them all. What are you? You are protected by Y2K undies. Now, I'm sorry, but non-Christians didn't buy those. They were too smart. But we're thinking, well, must be the Lord or a Christian group. And so they printed, this company, by the way, printed a 2-full page in the newspaper apology. I was proud of them. I thought that had to be tough to print an apology. But, you know, shame on us. Is it wrong to have a savings account? No. Is it wrong to prepare for retirement? No. But don't you understand that what we've got now, we can take and use for the glory of God? And it builds an account where you're going to live for eternity. We live in another world. Think about it. This is an upside down kingdom. When God gives you a home, and I know some of you own your own home, and that home, the roof doesn't leak. Well, don't be embarrassed. Praise Him. Be thankful. And then use your home for God's glory. When God gives you a job, and that job brings in enough income to where you can actually pay your bills, don't complain and feel guilty. Thank Him. And be the light at that job, and use that job and the money that God gives you for His kingdom, for His glory. When God gives you a gift, which comes, and He's done it to me, He's probably done it to you, He'll drop something on you, sometimes material things, sometimes money. God just, out of nowhere it comes, and you're thankful. Thank Him. It's not a sin. You haven't done anything wrong. You got a bumper crop. But be careful. Watch out for covetousness. Watch out for thinking, man, I'm set. When the truth is, I might be doing all right, but you know, I need to look for others who aren't set. I need to look for ways. You know, I have this a little while back, I ran into a few hundred dollars that was extra. I don't know what happened. And at first I thought, oh, you know what I could do with this? Do you know? But then I got thinking, no, this is a trick. I've seen this one. I know. My car's going to break, isn't it, God? I know. This is a setup, isn't it? That's what you're going to do, aren't you? You're going to do that, aren't you? Okay, I'm ready. I'm holding this because you're going to break my car. You know, because we know God loves us. And sure enough, it had nothing to do with my car. Someone else ended up just needing. Worked out perfect. Have you ever had God do that to you? It just works out that way. You don't worry. But you know, you want to be careful of covetousness. Don't buy into that gospel that says if you give 10 bucks, God will give you 100 back. Man, I'm having a hard time handling 10. Don't give me the 100. What do I do with that? My car will break. That's a false doctrine. No television ministry believes it, although they teach it. If they did, they'd be sending you tons of money. Because if they'd send you 1,000, they'd get 10,000 back. And they're not about to send you 1,000. Trust me, I asked them. I called a big television ministry and said, I'm pastoring this little church, and you said that if I sent you 100, I'd get 1,000 back. Would you send me 10,000? They threw the letter in the trash and never heard from them. They don't believe that doctrine. It's why, you know why? They're not stupid. They know that the Bible doesn't teach that. They just want you to be stupid. Don't be stupid. You take your money, you take your talent, you take your gifts, you take your stuff, and you begin to use it for God's kingdom, for His glory, legitimately. And you avoid covetousness is what God tells us to do. These are things that we can walk out here and practice. Keep them in mind. Realizing that what God gives to us is a blessing, not a curse. God gives good gifts to His children. We learned that earlier on in the gospel. Is there a man among you who would offer his son a stone if he asked for bread? A snake if he asked for fish? No. Well, if you, being evil, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? Give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. See, God gives good gifts to you. He loves you. Trust Him. Read through your Bible. See, does it really say that? Does chapter 12 really say that? Pay attention to what God is saying. And remember that He loves you. We're going to share communion together real quickly. The way we'll do it this morning, because there's so many of us, is we'll let you take the bread when you are ready. In the privacy of your own heart, when you are ready, you take that bread. Remembering the bread is the symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. When you get the cup, you take that cup privately. Remembering that the cup is the blood that was shed. He bought me with a price. Now my life is His, and I want it to be His. And if He'll let me have a car that runs, I'm grateful. But more than anything, I want to be used to make sure that the people in Africa learn the Bible. Or that the people in Thailand get medicine and learn about Jesus Christ and get to at least have somebody that they can call family. Or the children and the men and women down in Mexico. Or wherever we can get to, Russia, wherever we can get to. We want to make sure that they are blessed. And I'll tell you what, we are blessed so much, it's not like we're going to be hurting ourselves to bless them. You know that. So as we take this bread and this cup in our own hearts, remember that God has purchased you with a price. Jesus says, remember me when you do this. And give your life to God. If there's an area He's showing you that you've been greedy or covetous, turn it over. Let it go. Don't be afraid, because God is good. He does love you. Let's bow our heads.